Dez, if you don't want to be on until 10 o'clock, you better let me start this one.
Thank the light, everyone. I am your
Pokeball Sedai.
That's it.
And these are my wolf brothers.
I will be your redstone doorway.
And I already used my opening for the wrong podcast, so moving along.
Just say the other one. What'd you say? The strain? I'll say the saver.
The saver.
Go, gambler! And I will also be, Desmond, you try to stop me. We're going to have a problem on this one. All right, we're going to get into it. Okay, so last week on Arrested Development, the Wheel of Prime,
Hurry up!
Thank the light, you son of a bitch. We're hearing some rumors about a redstone doorway that you could walk through.
Hey, that's the name of the show.
You have heard of... Moraine starts talking to the Wonder Girls about a redstone door, a redstone doorway that you can go through to get Samantha.
Nothing, dude.
She tells of a place that is kind of a folded reality where you can go get answers. And she doesn't really explain much more. And of course, the real genius children that they are, they decide to go talk about it to Matt. And Matt goes, okay, I should probably check that out. Matt goes looking for the cache of power items in the Stone of Tyr and finds the redstone doorway. Matt and Perrin right before have a chat and talk about the two rivers. There's a rumor going around in the two rivers that the White Cloaks are there. They're looking for Perrin. They're looking for the Dragon Reborn and a man with yellow eyes. And Perrin knows that he has basically a death sentence hanging on his head. He's trying to chase away Fael so he can go back and basically die so that they won't hurt his people.
They're looking for Scut Farkas. He had yellow eyes.
Matt is thinking back to the fight in the stone and wondering how he's like, God, the Madral knew my name, knew me by sight. You know, he's creeped out by that. Berylyn starts to creep on Perrin now. All this is happening in between the fight and Jeremy, 2 days?
If that. It may be the next day.
Fael has been fighting with Perrin and catches Berylyn kind of like trying to lay claim to him. And like they almost have a knife fight in the hallway, which is pretty awesome. Ruark treats him like an angry, disappointed father, sends one to bed and takes the other one's knives.
Takes her knives and is like, no, knock it off.
Yeah, he's like, no. She's like, well, what the hell? She's like, well... Her punishment was to, she had to be chastised and sent to bed. And your punishment is I'm stealing these knives that you love so much.
And then he hit her nose with a newspaper.
Yeah, basically.
No.
No pooping on the rug. No biting your sister. Sorry. I'm trying to hurry. So Rand has also learned about this redstone doorway through, he's pouring over the Corinthian cycles and the histories of the land. And he has also figured out about this redstone doorway.
Justin.
What?
What is your name?
What?
Is your favorite color?
What
is your favorite Miyazaki movie?
No.
Yeah.
I was trying to be serious. You ruined my vibe. So on the other side of this redstone doorway, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, this is all one world, but there are two different types of being in this world. One being the Aelfin and one being the Eelfin. The Eelfin, I believe, or the Aelfin that with the A are the snake-like people. They look almost like...
Yeah, they have slits for eyes. They have
pointy ears, almost like a bat kind of type of thing. Their skin is kind of scaly. They wear these golden robes.
They look like the same things that Luke Skywalker wore on his legs, for boots.
Yeah.
Looks like a bunch of like wrappings.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. And they are one of the beings and the Ilfrin, which are the snakes, are behind this redstone doorway. There is another redstone doorway. It is in Riadan. And behind that doorway are the fox people. And I believe they skin humans because it looks like their clothes are human skin, like leather made from human skin.
Yeah, that's pretty much confirmed.
We won't meet them yet, but they are kind of a part of this world, as is the Tower of Genji, which is near Eridal Shatterluna. That doesn't really matter right now. Just throwing it out there. It's not close to it, but it's near. Same area, I believe. I could be wrong.
Is that how they get there?
You're making a face.
I'm just trying to remember if that's correct.
I believe that they see the Tower of Genji when they run and jump on the boat with Tom and they're sailing down river and they see the silver.
That is absolutely true.
Tower. So I don't know if how close it is, but I know it's fairly close.
It's along the same river.
Right. The Aranin, I believe. So we're 2 minutes in. Matt has decided to go find the stone doorway and he has just found it. And we're going to skip around a little bit. I won't talk. I'm just going to try to cram it all together.
We'll see.
Ready? Go.
Rectangle seemed likely to fall over at a breath. But when he gave it an experimental push, it stood steady. He pushed a bit harder, not sure he did not want to heave the thing over, and that side of it scraped through the dust. Goosebumps ran down his arm. There might as well have been a wire fastened to the top, suspending it from the ceiling. He held the lamp up to see. There was no wire. At least it won't topple while I'm inside. Light, I am going inside, aren't I? A clutter of figurines and small things wrapped in rotting cloth occupied the top of a tall, upended barrel near him. He pushed the jumble to one side so he could set the lamp there and study the doorway. The Tyr Angreal. If Egwene knew what she was talking about, she probably did. No doubt she had learned all sorts of strange things in the tower. However much she denied. She would deny things, wouldn't she now? Learning to be Aes Sedai. Won't know till I try, will I? Luck. Taking a deep breath and coughing from the dust, he put his foot through. He seemed to be stepping through a sheet of brilliant white light. Infinitely bright, infinitely thick. For a moment that lasted forever, he was blind. A roaring filled his ears. All the sounds of the world gathered together at once. But just the length of one measureless step. Stumbling another pace, he stared around in amazement. The Tyr Angreal was still there. But this was certainly not where he had started. The twisting stone doorframe stood in the center of a round hall, with a ceiling so high it was lost in the shadows, surrounded by strange, spiraled yellow columns snaking up into the gloom, like huge vines, twining round poles that had been taken away. A soft light came from glowing spheres atop coiled stands of some white metal, not silver. The shine was too dull for that, and no hint of what made the glow. It did not look like flame. The spheres simply shone. The floor tiles spiraled out in white and yellow stripes from the Tyr Angreal. There was a heavy scent in the air, sharp and dry and not particularly pleasant. He almost turned around and went back on the spot. A long time. He jumped, a knife coming into his hand, and peered among the columns for the source of the breathy voice that pronounced those words so harshly. A long time, yet the seekers come again for answers. The questioners come once more. A shape moved, back among the columns. A man, Matt thought. Good, you have brought no lamps, no torches, as the agreement was, and is, and ever will be. You have no iron, no instruments of music. The figure stepped out, tall, barefoot, arms and legs and body wound about in layers of yellow cloth. And Matt was suddenly not sure if it was a man, or human. It looked human at first glance, though perhaps too graceful, but it seemed far too thin for its height, with a narrow, elongated face. Its skin, and even its straight black hair, caught the pale light in a way that reminded him of a snake's scales. And those eyes, the pupils just black vertical slits. No, not human. I, instruments of music. You have not. Matt wondered what it thought the knife was. It certainly did not seem concerned over it. Well, the blade was good steel, not iron. No, no iron, and no instruments of, why? He cut off sharply. Three questions, Egwene had said. He was not about to waste one on iron or instruments of music. Why should he care if I have a dozen musicians in my pocket and a smithy on my back? I have come here for true answers. If you are not the one to give them, take me to who can. The man, it was male at least, Matt decided, smiled slightly. He did not show any teeth. According to the agreement, come. He beckoned with one long-fingered hand. Follow. Matt made the knife disappear up his sleeve. Lead, and I will follow. Just you keep ahead of me and in plain sight. This place makes my skin crawl. There was not a straight line to be seen anywhere except for the floor itself as he trailed the strange man. Even the ceiling was always arched, and the walls bowed out. The halls were continuously curved, the doorways rounded, the windows perfect circles. Tile work made spirals and sinuous lines, and what seemed to be bronze metalwork set in the ceiling at intervals was all complicated scrolls. There were no pictures of anything, no wall hangings or paintings, only patterns and always curves. He saw no one except his silent guide. He could have believed the place empty except for the two of them. From somewhere, he had a dim memory of walking halls that had not known a human foot in hundreds of years, and this felt the same. But sometimes, he caught a flicker of motion out of the corner of his eye. Only, however quickly he turned, there was never anyone there. He pretended to rub his forearms, checking the knives of his coat sleeves for reassurance. What he saw through those round windows was even worse. Matt ground his teeth. Three questions. It was hard to learn anything without asking questions. I hope you are taking me to those who can answer my questions. Burn my bones, I do. For my sake and yours, the light know it true. Here, the peculiar yellow-wrapped fellow said, gesturing with one of those thin hands to a rounded doorway twice as large as any Matt had seen before. His strange eyes studied Matt intently. His mouth gaped open, and he inhaled, long and slow. Matt frowned at him, and the stranger gave a writhing hitch of his shoulders. Here, your answers may be found. Enter. Enter and ask. Matt drew a deep breath of his own, then grimaced and scrubbed at his nose. That sharp, heavy smell was a rank nuisance. He took a hesitant step toward the tall doorway and looked around for his guide again. The fellow was gone. Way to reach the top of them except by climbing the twists. Yet a man like his guide sat cross-legged atop each, only wrapped in layers of red. Not all men, he decided at a second look. Two of those long faces with the odd eyes had a definite, feminine cast. They stared at him, intense penetrating stares, and breathed deeply, almost panting. He wondered if he had made them nervous in some way. Not a bloody chance of that, but they're certainly getting under my coat. It has been long, the woman on the right said. Very long, the woman on the left added. The man nodded. Yet they come again. All three had the breathy voice of the guide, almost indistinguishable from it, in fact, and the harsh way of pronouncing words. They spoke in unison, and the words might as well have come from one mouth. Enter and ask, according to the agreement of old. If Matt had thought his skin crawled before, now he was sure it was writhing. He made himself go closer, careful to say nothing that even sounded like a question. He laid the situation before them. The White Cloaks, certainly in his home village, surely hunting friends of his, maybe hunting him. One of his friends going to face the White Cloaks, another not. His family, not likely in danger, but with the bloody children of the bloody light around. A Tavirin pulling at him so he could hardly move. He saw no reason to give names or mention that Rand was the Dragon Reborn. His first question, and the other two for that matter, he'd worked out before going down to the Great Hold. Should I go home to help my people? He asked finally. Three sets of slitted eyes lifted from him, reluctantly it seemed, and studied the air above his head. Finally, the woman on the left said, You must go to Rudian. As soon as she spoke, their eyes all dropped to him again, and they leaned forward, breathing deeply again. But at that moment, a bell tolled, a sonorous, brazen sound that rolled through the room. They swayed upright, staring at one another, then at the air over Matt's head again. He is another, the woman on the left whispered. The strain. The saber, the man said. It has been long. There is yet time, the other woman told them. She sounded calm, they all did, but there was a sharpness to her voice when she turned back to Matt. Ask. Matt glared up at them furiously. Rudian, light. That was somewhere out in the waste. The light in the Aiel knew where. That was about as much as he knew. In the waste. Anger drove questions about how to get away from Aes Sedai and how to recover the lost parts of his memory right out of his head. Rudian, he barked. The light burned my bones to ash if I want to go to Rudian. And my blood on the ground if I will. Why should I? You are not answering my questions. You are supposed to answer, not hand me riddles. If you do not go to Rudian, the woman on the right said, you will die. The bell tolled again, louder this time. Matt felt its tremor through his boots. The looks the three shared were plainly anxious. He opened his mouth, but they were only concerned with each other. The strain, one of the women said hurriedly. It is too great. The savor of him. The other woman said on her heels. It has been so very long. Before she was done, the man spoke. The strain is too great. Too great. Ask. Burn your soul for a craven heart, Matt growled. I will that. Why will I die if I do not go to Rudian? I very likely will die if I try. It makes no... The man cut him off and spoke hurriedly. You will have sidestepped the threat of fate. Let your fate to drift on the winds of time. And you will be killed by those who do not want that fate fulfilled. Now go. You must go. Quickly. The yellow-clad guide was suddenly there at Matt's side, tugging at his sleeve with those two long hands. Matt shook him off. No, I will not go. You have led me from the questions I wanted to ask and given me senseless answers. You will not leave it there. What fate are you talking about? I will have one clear answer out of you at least. A third time the bell sounded mournfully, and the entire room trembled. Go, the man shouted. You have had your answers. You must go before it is too late. Abruptly, a dozen of the yellow-clad men were around Matt, seeming to appear out of the air, trying to pull him toward the door. He fought with fists, elbows, knees. What fate? Burn your hearts, what fate? It was the room itself that peeled, the walls and floor quivering, nearly taking Matt and his attackers off their feet. What fate? The three were on their feet atop the pedestals, and he could not tell which shrieked which answer. To marry the daughter of the Nine Moons. To die and live again, and live once more a part of what was. To give up half the light of the world to save the world. Together they howled like steam escaping under pressure. Go to Rudian, son of battles. Go to Rudian, trickster. Go, gambler, go!
And they throw his ass out of the stone doorway, and he tries to run back through it. It doesn't work. I'm just going to give the last little bit of the chapter, and then I want you guys to react. And then Jeremy and Dez, you can feel free to run in, but Jeremy has the knowledge I'm going to ask. I want to know what you think too. But so Matt gets out, continues to curse them for throwing him out, and they start yelling how I don't want to marry the daughter of the Nine Moons and blah, blah, blah. And then he sees a boot backing out of the doorway, and it's Rand. And Rand has his sighting, you know, lightsaber, and he's backing away. And then they start to talk. Oh, hey, oh, you went in there too. Oh, shit, you know. And then Moraine comes walking out, backing out of it too. And so the bells that you are hearing is, and the strain, that's from them being in there, correct, Jeremy?
Yeah, I think the strain and the saber is...
all at the same time, right?
Yeah, but every time that they answer a question for him, that's why the bell goes off.
Oh, it wasn't going off because there was two Taviran and two channelers in there?
No, if you listen back to it, every time he asks a question, they answer it, bing, it's like dong. There's your question.
There's your question, bitch. So then Moraine comes out and they start to talk, and they're like, hey, you know, what did you ask questions? Did you get your answers? And Moraine is trying to kind of weasel her answers out of Rand. And Matt's like, I didn't even get to ask him anything. They threw me out. And then Rand mentions that he needed a translator. And Matt's like, what? I don't understand him. Because Matt didn't need a translator because he understands and speaks the old tongue.
Not knowing he does.
And then that's where it ends. Boom. Smash cut. Tell me what you think of these motherfuckers. Don't all go at once.
I listened to this chapter 4 times today. I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Really? Okay.
Obviously, this, you know, this always helps me a little bit. You know, I generally am at least driving while I'm listening to it, if not doing something else. So I definitely got it more. I listened to 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 today. And I listened to 11 again, and I listened to 15 one and a half more times. times that I listened to this today. And I still, I don't, and again, this isn't part of what we listen to. We're having a larger conversation, everybody, just because, you know, we can't listen to 3 hours.
A 40-minute chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are called audiobooks.
How the fuck did we get here? Who brought us here? Who told us what was going to happen? Who said going through this door was a good idea? How come he was able to walk through it once, and why can't he go through it again? Will he ever be able to walk through it again?
Yeah, so what happens is the Wonder Girls basically tell him. They find out because they go down and they start categorizing everything that's down in the storage vault that Tyr has. Because what Tyr is, they have outlawed channeling. So if anything that is with that has or is tied
to... It's a law, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just frowned upon. It's an actual law.
Yeah. So if you go there and you have something that's technically like tied to the power, they can take it from you. And so I can't remember how they find out about this twisted stone door that the first of Mayan used to have, that the country of Mayan used to have. And they would use
Rand finds out about it in a book.
So it's been
the history of Mayan.
So it's been confiscated. It's in the Tyr.
They didn't confiscate it. A previous First of Mayen gave it to them because he had already used it, and you can only use it once.
Okay.
It's a tearing grill, so you don't have to have the power, but you can only go through it once, and then it doesn't work for you anymore.
It's in the evidence locker. That's the word I'm looking for. It's in the evidence locker.
There you go.
Sort of, yeah.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Yeah, and so that's why Matt can't go back through it once he goes through it one time.
Once a lifetime. Basically, I'm sure someone might figure out how to do it twice, but in theory. But he got 6 questions answered, didn't he?
Yes, he got way more.
He did get more than, he got way more than 3 because they started shouting answers at the end. We're going to talk about that towards the end. Think of this, Dez, as like when Bran goes to see the three-eyed raven, the old guy, and he's kind of riddly, and he tricks Bran into becoming the three-eyed raven, and now he's stuck there then. It's kind of like these guys are kind of shitty like that. Like, they give you answers, but you better be careful how you phrase your questions, because it could cost you big.
Well, in D&D, it didn't cost you big, but it caught when they were raising the dead to ask them 3 questions. And they're just like, no. Wow.
Sort of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Before I get too off track, because Jeremy, like I said, I got so much stuff. You know, he goes there to get answers. Rand goes there to get answers. His questions we hear, and they tell him, oh, first of all, Mr. Tyr Angreal. They also say Roy Dean sausages.
The only thing consistent is their inconsistency.
Yes.
Yep. And it's amazing.
Is it Leah or Leia?
It's pronounced unreliable narrator. So, but they kind of make deals. Not necessarily make deals, but they kind of do. You find out that later. While you can only use this one once, there is a twin to this doorway that is also a redstone door terangriel that you can go through once. And same thing. That's where the foxes live, even though it's in the same kind of like other dimension realm.
Oh, I saw something about the foxes. So one door is full of snake people. Another door is full of foxy foxes.
There's a game that I always kind of pictured like Chutes and Ladders in this world called Snakes and Foxes.
Fox Force 5.
Yes, Fox Force 5. Uma Thurman is the main character.
Catch up.
And the goal is to marry her feet.
Yeah.
But I always thought it was like Chutes and Ladders type of game. But apparently it's a game like you cannot win unless you cheat.
It's the the
it's Monopoly.
No, what's the test in Star Trek?
It's Kobayashi Maru.
It's the Kobayashi Maru.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Oh my God.
First of all, Matt's ADD comes out a little bit, and I would fail with these motherfuckers. Because he's like, wait, why can't I bring fire? What's with the, it doesn't matter if I have a band in my pocket. What do you care? That's why I feel. I'll be like, wait, who are you? Why do you look like a snake? What are with these robes? Are you a Jedi? Do you have lightsabers?
Justin would never get across the bridge.
I'd be like, dude, just get the fuck out.
Out. Just get out.
We'll tell you whatever. We'll write you a letter with everything you want to know. Just leave.
Do you have a light?
Please, God.
Is that organic? Why do my feet itch?
So, anyways, there is another one in Riudan, and I don't know if that's why. Do you think, Jeremy, that's why they told him to go to Riudan and try to get him to go there again because he's a Tavirin? And Dez, is another thing. They, do they feed on it, Jeremy? Would you say they feed on it? Or is it like...
Don't put your feet on it.
Yeah, you never put your feet on it.
Does it power their visions, maybe?
I don't think they feed on it because... nobody's gone there in a long time, so they would have, you know, died. But I think it's more like drug pleasure.
Well, okay, I guess, yeah, maybe like that. But they talk about later on, two people who are channelers go through, and one of them, they talk about how she dies because they die because they drain her too quickly of the power. And the other person,
you're like, she, no, wait, they, and then her,
they, them,
not a her.
Hey, the character, anyways, it's two females that go through, and one of them gets drained completely and dies, and the other one gets her ability to channel lessened significantly,
right?
And ends up living. But they do talk about how I think it's more like a drug, but it also sustains them a little bit too.
Yeah.
And they also feed on Tavirin, like their memories and their experiences. Moraine explains it at the end of right after this chapter or at the end of it. And because they're Tavirin, they have a special, you know, musk that's really good. But also Matt is the son of battles, and he has had contact with the dagger. And so he has, you know, a lot of layers to him they really get off on too. Right, Jeremy? I mean, they like him probably one of the best.
Yeah, I would say so. The reason he has to go to Rudiant.
That was why I was asking, do you think they send the Rudiant to get him to go through again because they want him?
Well, yes, but also because they see the future, they realize that that's how he gets his abilities to survive, right?
Right.
I mean, if he doesn't have those, the things that he obtains there, he dies.
In Rudiant, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get to these foxes or snakes any other way than through these doors? Or do they just, there is a way to circumvent the doors?
Yes.
I
will tell you that at the end of the episode.
Do they have the same?
Actually, we could tell them now. Jeremy, you want to take it?
Do they have powers that way, or do they only have powers through the red door?
No.
They're the same. They're the same.
Yeah. So there's this thing called the Tower of Genjai that we talked about. It's a silver, like a silver tower. But if you go through there, if you go through the red doorway, there's like a treaty that was made, and they can't hurt you. Like, as long as you do the things...
Unless
you break the rules, there's nothing they can do. They still have to answer your questions or whatever the foxes do. I won't bring that up. But if you go through the Tower of Genjai, you can come in a second time, but there's no rules.
Oh.
They can do whatever they want.
Is that a Genjai or a second time?
Foxes are a fan of ropes.
It's the Tower of Genjai and coming in. It's the only way you can come in. It's the second time. And it has to be.
But what if you go in Genjai the first time? Then,
you know, no, I think there's no rules. I think if you come in through the Tower of Genjai.
When you go in the Tower of Genjai, there's no rules. And that's why, okay, Dezo was going to kind of wait. But so the fire, the instruments of music, and no iron. So that is like the treaty. And as long as you don't bring those, they'll answer your questions. If you go in, it's connected to the game of snakes and foxes. And when you start the game of snakes and foxes, you make this little triangle with two snakes through it. And to get into the Tower of Genjai, you have to do that with a power wrought blade. And then it opens a door. And then you can go in. But the treaty does not hold when you go in that way. And so also you can bring your instruments of fire and music and, you know, anything but iron, because iron won't hurt them that way either.
I think you make, I don't.
Is the instrument thing an Ogier rule?
No, they play music to hypnotize them, kind of like a snake charmer almost.
That's literally
bright lights and bangs like, too, kind of like stun. Yeah, they do. They just start like going. They go.
So again, I'm having a really. I know it's partially my fault, but I don't think it's all my fault.
I think it's 100% your fault. No, I'm pretty sure it's your fault.
How did we get here? Who is all here? Because Moraine is here too, right?
We are in the basement of Stone of Tyr, and they all went through the doorway roughly within, what, a half hour of each other? You see Matt starts talking about footprints, and he's like, oh, it must be the workers that brought all this shit down here. They're fucking Rand's footprints, and I think Moraine goes in after Matt.
So Rand, in Chapter 11, Rand, Egwene, Nynaeve, a couple Aiel, Elaena are all there.
Elaine.
And now, so they weren't together when Matt went through the door, but because...
No.
But Rand's in there too, right?
Yes.
Which gate did he go in?
Same.
Same one.
When did they all get together?
They didn't.
They didn't.
They all went separately. They all had the same idea and went around the same time.
But there's one...
That's why they kept going, the strain... the strain, because there was like, usually it's one person every 10 years that goes through.
But there's one door.
There's three people.
Right?
It's like, think of it as a portal door, not a door.
Okay, fine. There's one portal. They all had to see each other outside the door before they went in, right?
Nope.
No, they went at different times.
They went at separate times. Like, Rand came down, went in. Then Matt came in, like, say, 20 minutes later, went in after him. And when you go there, it's a folded reality. So you don't...
But they don't all... Not everybody went through the door. Really?
Not at the same time. Not at the same time. That's why when he's asking...
But that means some people are hanging out outside the door. So how did Matt's posse not see Rand's posse?
There's no posse. They went by themselves.
They all went solo.
Rand and Matt just walked off into the fucking night hoping they'd find this door.
No, it's in the basement.
Yeah, Rand learned about it in a book and he knew it was in the basement. Matt was told about it by Egwene and Nynaeve, who were told about it by Moraine, who was thinking about using it herself.
So this is...
Where do you think this door is?
I don't fucking know. But last week we were talking about chapter 10 and you guys are like, well, no, they're not together. So if they're not fucking together... Why are they all fucking together now?
They're in the same place. They're not really hanging out together. They're all in the Stone of Tyr, but it's huge. It's like
a giant palace.
You know,
Buckingham
Vegas.
Palace.
It's like it's like a palace.
Do they even know they're all in the same town at this point?
Yeah, 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 yeah. They're kind of avoiding each other a little bit. Wouldn't you say, Jeremy?
We didn't say that they weren't together.
Yeah.
Well, no. Now it's all coming back to me because I hate myself. That I remember last week you guys answered me the same way. Like, yeah, they're in the same city, but it's a big city.
And they're getting ready to go their separate ways.
They're in a palace together. They're all in the palace together. Desmond, you go back and listen to it.
The Stone of Tyr, where they're all fighting the Trollocs, they're all there.
We didn't say that they weren't in the same place, unless you were talking about something different. I think we actually said this is the last time they'll all be together before like the very end of the books.
Yeah.
And they're still in chapter 15 all together.
Yeah.
They're together, they're not partied up per se.
No, they're still together in the same place, in the same building. It's a very big building.
It just keeps fucking with me because, yeah, they seem to be having these like private enclaves. I feel like I hear that.
They do. They all have their huge palace rooms. Perrin's hanging out with Faile. Matt's hanging out with the Lordlings. And then Rand is being the Dragon
this
Reborn.
This is like a fucking episode of Three's Company. If they would just all go to fucking dinner together, they could solve this in a meal.
You're not wrong.
You're not. You haven't. I just don't think you haven't been listening.
Yeah, you're oversimplifying
You haven't been listening.
Obviously.
Well, you just haven't been listening closely, probably. You're probably listening at 2x speed. There's so much going on. And they're working together, but they have their own ideas on how things should be done.
Yeah.
And Rand has got his ideas. Moraine wants to influence him, if not outright tell him what to do. And he's pushing back on that. The girls have been given a task and they're doing that. Matt is basically trying to figure out, should he go back home and help Perrin? He thinks Perrin is probably going to go, but even Perrin right now isn't sure if he's going to go because they've heard that the White Cloaks are going to go there and probably hurt people.
Perrin just decided he's going to go. He tells Matt right before this. He's like, I'm going. I have to go.
These guys are just so like, I mean, these guys all grew up together. If they were like,
they're so two rivers.
If they were some random band of people that Moraine brought together and they weren't, you know, they're the fucking Suicide Squad and they're not sure if they want to work together. So they're like kind of hiding from each other. Like this would all make sense. But the fact that these guys like grew up sleeping in the same bed for 18 years and now all of a sudden can't fucking like.
Bro, this is you all are line cooks and Rand gets promoted to the executive chef and it's weird now. You can't just go see him. You can't just go hang out with him. Matter of fact, you're a little afraid of him and you want to try to get away from him. But because the pattern won't let you, you're kind of fucking stuck.
Which I keep thinking would drive them into different towns, which is why I'm like, okay, if they're just not going
to
fucking
That's
hang
what I'm saying.
Out.
Matt wants to.
Yeah.
Right. Matt wants to leave and he tries to say it to Perrin and he can't even get the words out of his mouth.
Okay.
But also, it's you're all line cooks. Rand gets promoted to executive chef. And so it's weird. But there's also the history that executive chefs have all locked the doors and burned the building down with everyone inside of it. Or started beating people to death with frying pans.
You're my most loyal line kicks, and I burn you all the
time. They all go insane.
That's a really good analogy.
You're all sister wives, and you've promised each other that none of you are going to give up the butt. And then you find out that Cindy gave up the butt.
5 years ago. Basically, Jeremy, you just described every restaurant I've ever worked at.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah, they'll burn it down. A restaurant will burn it down.
Pretty much done. Jeremy, got a couple questions for you. Dez, I'm just not sure with your level.
I'm good.
With your level of attention, Jeremy, do you think that what these beings do is maybe similar is not the word, but in some way sort of related or in a way like what Min does, like seeing visions?
You know what? I never thought about that because they look above him, right? Very possible.
Yeah. That was what made me think of it. And I never really thought about it until I was just listening to it. So what do you think is a better saver, the power or Taviren?
I think as of this writing.
I would say Taviren because it's more rare.
As of this writing, I think it's the Taviren. You know, we have to realize too that Brandon Sanderson wrote the part about the power being drained. I don't know if that's exactly what Robert Jordan. You know, it's funny.
Right.
After finishing the last three books and then hearing how, you know, Brandon Sanderson writes Matt and how just completely different it is. You know, you listen to this chapter and how Matt thinks of things and how he goes through things. And it's just, it's hard to put into words, but there's just a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew it wasn't him. And like, I think we talked about this before. I worried that because Robert Jordan was getting to a point where he was a little feeble and long-winded, that he wouldn't have finished it with the strength that Sanderson did. And while it wasn't Robert Jordan, it was
the best we could have gotten.
Paced enough. And I think it was the best
we could have gotten. I totally agree. Yes. But that doesn't mean that, you know, it was perfect and that's okay.
No, that's fine too. Yeah, I agree. And I will say this, if they manage to put this in a way that lands and is awesome, I will forgive so many other things, but I really don't
think they will.
So I'm not even going to worry about that. You get to hear Matt's fates also to marry the daughter of the Nine Moons.
I think that, sorry, it's taken me a little while to get to this joke, but I think it would have ended better if Ernest Cline had written it.
I don't get that joke, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Optimus Prime would have come down and pulled him out.
It's the Ready Player One writer, Justin.
Oh, right.
It would have been Doctor Strange would have opened another portal and then reached in and grabbed him. Quick, Optimus, take him away.
He would have gotten when at the end of the last battle when Rand was dying, he would have like picked him up like he picked up Chaz.
Exactly. With two halves.
Just use the Zemeckis cube and go back to the Two Rivers.
Use the Allspark, motherfucker. He's fated to marry the daughter of the Nine Moons. Jeremy, we know what that is. It has to do with the Shan-Chan. What was the other one? They call him Gambler because his luck.
Yep.
And his battle acumen. What else do they say? I'm kind of drawing a blank right now.
Son of Battles. We call him Son of Battles.
Son of Battles, which is, he gets his battle acumen from that. They tell him to go to Riaden so he can sidestep the winds of fate, I think, or something. And he says,
if he doesn't go, he would.
And there are people who don't, if he doesn't go, and there are people that don't want you to go. And they say something about the winds of time. Do you think that is referring to him being a hero of the horn? Or is that something that is TV show only?
No, it's TV show only. I think it's...
But I know that's something that was like theorized at the end because of like, wow, why does he all have all these memories?
Yeah.
Is he Aemon? Is he a hero? Whatever. Is he
both? I think it's just because in the future, he's going to gain all of the memories. So he has access to the winds of time.
They call me Buttons, George Michael.
On the wind...
Buttons.
The Wheel of Prime. Buttons. Nobody calls me that. Call her Trish the Dish. Last question. So we know what Matt asked, right? He asked, you know, like 9 questions. What do we think that, Jeremy, I know you have opinions on this because we talked about it before. What do we think Rand's questions were?
Rand asks, I know for at least 2. He asks how he can survive the last battle.
Not how I can win. How I can survive the last battle.
And then he asks, how can he win the last battle? I think those are 2 different questions.
He asks.
No, oh, look at you.
He asks what to do next, right?
And I think he knows. I think he gets the
idea to go to Riaden
from them. I think so.
From that, right? And then what about Moraine's?
So you know that at least one of them is, she asks how she dies because that's how she knows to be prepared for Lanfear.
Right.
And she knows when and where.
Right. How do you think she gets the answer about Tom? She obviously knows about Tom.
Well, I think she just knows that she already cares for him. I don't think that's...
No, because she writes him a letter before she goes. And is like, I'll see you again. You will live. So she must have asked a question pertaining to Tom.
So Randall Thor, unknown question. Second question, how can I clean up the corruption of the Sidene?
Oh, really?
Oh, how to cleanse Sidene.
Oh, that's I didn't think that he did ask.
Jeremy. You told me that before, I thought.
Well, I thought I was wrong.
And then number three, how can I win the last battle and survive?
So that was one question. And then, so what was the third question?
Oh, it was, so how can I win it and survive?
Well, no, the first question is unknown. They say we don't know what the first question is. So those last two are the only ones that are recorded here.
I would say, how do I find out what to do next? Because then he goes to Ryudan and learns his next step, where he goes to Al-Qardal and, you know, has to do with probably the Aiel, right?
So it has to be, I would assume that at least one of them is I don't know. So she must find out something about how she goes through the doorway. Then she has to know to ask, okay, how can I be rescued? And because she knows how to be rescued.
And she gets the angry all because she knows her power is going
to
be lessened.
Well, she gets that before she goes in. She gets the one.
I thought it was given to her there. I'm pretty sure it was given to her there.
No, she has.
They put it on her so that.
No, she has it when she goes.
I thought they put it on her so they couldn't drain her so fast.
No, she already has it when she goes in. Yeah. So she has that because, and that's the only reason she doesn't kill like instantly by Lanfear, because she's stronger with it.
Okay.
Justin, you had said that to get into Ryudan, you have to use a power rod blade to write on it. It's actually a bronze knife. I don't know why it's a bronze knife, but I looked it up.
Well, Matt's Ashendari works, so.
No, that's to get out, not to get in.
Oh, right. Because he asks, no, it's not that. You can do it with a bronze knife. Matt asks for a way out and in, so it's basically a key.
Okay,
you can use it either way. That's all I got.
That's all I got. I burned myself out just trying to figure out what city we were in.
That's why I was gonna go hard on this one, because I knew it's one that I love and I want you to get, and I know it was gonna be kind of confusing.
Good job, Justin. Great. Great clips, and good job just knowing what we could skip over. You know. What chapters we could skip over and still talk about.
I hope it made sense. You know,
it totally does. Like I said, if you out there, if you're like, I'll just listen to Thank the Light, I don't have to read the books, let us know. Like I said, we'll make sure. But I assume everyone out there has.
Jeremy would like that much more, I'm sure.
Has read the books. And hopefully you're laughing at me, or maybe you haven't read the books 27 times like Jeremy, and you're right with me, and you're glad that I'm asking these dumb questions so you can catch up as well. I'm loving it. It's just so weird right now with the show, with the Wheel of Prime hanging in the balance, like what our show is going to become, because we started this show because Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime, and that's what got me excited, and I'm still excited to talk about the Wheel of Time with you guys. But you know, figuring out exactly, you know, what this show is going to be, if it's definitely not going to be a TV show recap, is interesting. And if you guys out there have any ideas of what you would, you know, help us, we're here for you. Like, this, without you there is no us. So, you know, if we can, you know, send in your questions, I would love it. You know, sending your questions about past episodes, like, don't worry about trying to outguess us about what we're going to talk about next week. If you have any questions about the first two seasons of the show or the first 3.5 books of the series, send them in. Director.
Ask why Fatty takes so many bong hits. Ask why Jeremy's so wholesome. On that note, may you always find water and shade. And remember, you goat-kissing sons of bitches.
Tune in next week when we discuss Outer Range.
Dara, I got to watch Outer Range.
Outer Range?
It's fucking, speaking of a show that I hope gets a second season.
It already got a second season.
Does it exist, though?
Yeah, I think it's already out.
Oh, jeez. Why are we talking about this dumb fucking show?
Because of Justin. I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. I am not perfect. No, that's imaginary. But I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. And all my colors and paints, all my lines and my shapes, every move that I make, I do it for me. I am not basic, it's self-explanatory. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. Ooh.
Look, I have to be careful, okay? These are not tech-savvy people. The other day, I turned the lounge TV on, and now that's my job. They call me Buttons now. Buttons!
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Boo.